You're listening to KNNA LP FM 95.7 in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Every Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m., yours truly, old lovable Jack Kirk.
And me, Nancy, who Jack calls Princess Nancy, will take you on a quick musical walk back in time with the music of the big band era.
And we also bring you some of the history of those times,
along with the information on local Lincoln area dance bands for your listening and dancing pleasure.
Why not join Nancy and me every Friday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on When Music Was Music, right here on The Cross, KNNALP FM 95.7.
Nebraska is a beautiful place to raise a family. It's a wonderful town, great football, and I'll admit that even though I am Pastor Eric Brown, proud graduate of the University of Oklahoma. And with me is also a fellow OU alum,
Thomas Lemke, Boomer Sooner.
And we are the host of the Gospel Boldly podcast, where we look at the Word of God that shows God's great love even to people who root for the wrong football team from down south. Please listen in here on 95.7 The Cross.
As many of you already know, KNNA 95.7 The Cross operates entirely on volunteer work. It also functions entirely on donations. That's right. Donations provided to the station by listeners like you. If you would like to help KNNA grow and continue, please consider a donation. You can go to the web at thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org for more information and to donate.
Listen and learn. Tune in to Classroom 1 right here on KNNA LP FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska. KNNA FM 95.7 is radio. Radio is a communication medium, nothing more. KNNA is designed to be confessional Lutheran, Lutheran community informative, and family and entertainment. Our broadcasting can assist the shut-in who can't come to church on Sunday. It can help the hospitalized for the same reason. It can help the person whose work schedule is unfriendly to Sunday morning worship, all so that the Word of God might be heard. Yes, there is a level of outreach connected to FM 95.7. But FM 95.7 is not the church. It is not intended to take the place of the congregation or its pastors or their work. It is FM radio, a communication medium. We are all volunteer. Most of our programming is automated. There is no office or staff or phone watch. If there are pastoral concerns that you would like assistance with, or you would like to speak with our pastors, please contact Good Shepherd Lutheran Church at 402-423-7639 during normal business hours, or come by the church at 3825 Wildbriar Lane. We'll be happy to assist you.
Ever wonder what the LP stands for in KNNALP? Low power. 95.7 FM is a low-power radio station. So, if you begin to lose reception as you make your way outside of Lincoln, then just switch on your mobile device to the KNNA app, or go to thecross957.org and listen on the web.
I love to see the pastor's look on their face when they hear this song.
Superstitious.
This theme song.
It's not a hit with pastors, strangely.
No, because even Pastor Poppy had a little bit of an issue with it. We are joined here on the Y-Files with Pastor Kirk. I am Captain Kirk, and yes, Pastor Kirk is my father. And also here with David Sandman. So welcome,
Hello.
Pastor Kirk, to the Y-Files.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you.
So we've got some pretty intriguing questions for us today, and let's just get right into it. So the first question I have has to deal with the Trinity, of in the Lutheran faith. So give me a second here. So I had this written down here. I was going to go off of this, but then something happened yesterday. So I'm cleaning out my garage yesterday, or trying to anyways, and all of a sudden I hear this voice from behind me, and I look, and there's two people coming up the driveway, and they want to hand me something. Like, well, there's this event going on. We just want to let you be informed of it, and so here it is. They didn't really say much other than what their name is.
Here's a flyer.
The guy said, this is my wife, and said, here's this going on. We want you to be a part of it. I kind of already had a feeling who it was.
Uh-huh.
And I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay, where does it say Jehovah's Witness? Where does it say that? And I finally turn it over on the back, and there it says JW.org.
Uh-huh.
And it's been a long time since I've read anything on the Jehovah's Witnesses. And I sort of kind of forgot what they believed in. And as I was reading through it, and I'm like, you know what? This sort of ties into what we're talking about right now about this coming question. And one of the things I came across that I was really focusing on at this point because of the show today was about the Trinity. And one of the things they mentioned is that Jesus is not actually God.
Yeah.
He's just
that's one of the things.
I don't know really how to say this. Maybe, Pastor, you can help me out. Like a created tool for God. But he's not. But Jesus isn't God. It's really weird. So anyways, it plays into the question of when we look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, Scripture tells us, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And God seems to be speaking in plural here in Scripture here. So I thought Christians believed in one God.
Right.
This sounds like multiple gods. I mean, it's kind of along the same lines of Greek or Roman mythology kind of a thing. So, Pastor, what's up with that?
Well, if I can first, I have to comment on there is superstitious writing on the wall. I haven't talked with Pastor Poppy about it, but I remember the song when it was just released and being out there because, yeah, I'm that old. Yeah, when you turn 39 years old, you can look back and remember all of those things. So, okay, it's called the generation gap, or it used to be, and my generation gap continues to widen while you guys, it doesn't go anywhere. To the question, multiple gods, Greek and Roman gods, there are really, in the grand scheme, as far as yours truly, Pastor Kirk, is concerned, two legitimate questions. Those that ask for information and those that ask for clarification. Others, to me, I have learned for myself over the years, have an agenda behind them. And that can be as widely varied as the number of individuals who may ask the question. When we were in college, it was always, ask the professor a question that you could make your point and see whether or not he really agreed with you,
right,
rather than you're sitting there trying to gain, you know, his expertise and learning from him. And then it got worse from there as life went on. So I come at it that way. And it is a reasonable question to those who are searching. The Bible does speak in terms of plurality. In terms of when we're speaking about God. Now, I'll get to that because you were talking about Christians believing, therefore, in one God, and it does sound like multiple gods,
right,
like the Greeks and the Romans. And, of course, they had a whole system. A pantheon and a plethora, literally, of them. St. Paul will refer to it in Acts when he talks about the learned man at Mars Hill. Of all of the gods you have out there, you must be very religious. And I noticed the icon to the unknown God. Well, you know, that's was in the event that there was a God who yet they did not know, perhaps, or maybe there were some who believed that there was a God and we just didn't know who he was, or however their system would take them. But the Greeks and the Romans, in their system, they really took the gods as an extension of the practical for them. Their gods, that was how the people explained success or failure. Mm-hmm. It was how the people explained what was good and what was bad. It was how people could explain fate for them as to what was happening by whether the gods were on their side or whether they weren't on their side. And it wasn't really a system of belief, as Christianity would speak about belief in the God that is revealed to us out of the scriptures. The gods for the Greeks were seen more as that element from society that they could blame.
Interesting.
Or they could take credit from when things worked out the way they would like them to work out. The Christian God is a God who, as Dr. Luther set out as well as anybody could out of the Reformation times, that God is a God from whom we can expect all good, a God who will give security for today and tomorrow and meaning for today, and especially in terms of sin and God's grace upon us and his mercy that acts in Christ Jesus to deliver us from the sinful condition in which we live and give us that promise of security and hope and the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting for later. None of that kind of thing was in a Greek system. And there was certainly no expectation that the gods would forgive sins or deliver from death or the devil or give us a new heart so that we might be able to receive the things of God by his Spirit and to be able to live according to God's law of love in our lives. So they had none of that in their system. The gods of the Greeks and the Romans were really and truly nothing more than an extension of human beings. And I got to write it down to get it all in so I don't forget anything. But their gods took sides. Their gods played favorites. Their gods formed alliances. Their gods
had deals under the table.
Yeah, they did all of those kinds of things. And they argued with each other and they fought with each other. And they were blamed for fighting it out among humans as one god got his folks together and the other god got his folks together, so the people would say.
I think of the Odyssey stories and Hercules, those types of stories. You hear those exact things that you're talking about.
It makes fun reading. It makes, you know, I don't know whether I'd call it interesting reading, but it's fun. And I remember, you know, many years ago when we were fairly young in the ministry at that time, lovely bride and I, and we won tickets to a radio station in Chicago that was premiering Clash of the Titans.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And it was before it was released.
The original one, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
The original one. And I forget who the stars were in it, but we drove to Chicago that night, and we went to the theater, and we met Roy Leonard from WGN, who was the guy that... you know, I had the tickets available on the radio, and I answered some question about Greek mythology because I remembered it from high school or college or something. And we went and watched that, and it was entertaining, but it was nothing other than if you were watching or reading about ancient Greek mythology, you were watching human beings, and the extension of that, and whatever science fiction went along with that, as the gods move their players around, and you know, allied with this one, that one, and the other one. So the Greek gods, they were just extension of human beings.
Understandable.
And so were the Romans.
Interesting.
So I would imagine, Pastor, that this is leading up to the question then.
We are going to be moving into it very shortly.
Right. But I think we just need to understand a little bit about some background of Roman and Greek mythology.
Since you brought that up.
Right. So that way we can distinguish between the two of what's coming up. So you guys are listening to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. Here in Lincoln, Nebraska, you can get a hold of us on our Facebook page at the Y-Files. Just look us up, the Y-Files. And you can send us some questions that we can possibly use in the future. So we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
A not-so-long, long time ago, in a city you most likely live in, an organization known as KNNA The Cross emerged. As time went on, they grew to such a power that they soon created the radio station. And with it, a mighty tower. With such power brings great responsibility. KNNA 95.7 knows they cannot do it alone. With great hope, they sent out a message to all who would listen.
You do not want to change the radio station.
I do not want to change the radio station.
You wish to subscribe to KNNA.
I wish to subscribe to KNNA.
You will go to thecross957.org and subscribe.
I see your point, sir.
I will go to thecross957.org and subscribe.
May the radio be with you, always.
Welcome back to the Wi-Files after that really quick break.
Mm-hmm.
I was serious when I said
quick break.
Yeah.
Yep. Here we are.
So here we are back on the Wi-Files. Again, I am Captain Kirk. I'm here with David. Say hello, David.
Hello.
And,
hello, David.
We are here with our guest, Pastor Kirk, who we've asked the question at the beginning of the show. I guess kind of not exactly the verbatim, but asking the question of, why is God talking in plural? I thought it was one God, not multiple gods. So we're getting into that. We discussed a little bit about Roman and Greek mythology, so we can have a better understanding of what's coming up.
A little bit, yes.
Why in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." It sounds like God is talking as he's multiple gods. So.
Well, if you would turn your Bibles for a moment to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, you specifically read, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And it is evident that there are more than one conversing. There's more than one person there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Hebrew term here for God with its plural verb in verse 26 is Elohim. And it is indeed plural in the Genesis 1 text. Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. It points up to more than one. Now, there were some objections raised in the past that God was speaking kind of the general plural up there, as Americans sometimes do. They'll say, well, we're going to the store and we only mean me. Or we're going to the game, and I only mean, you know, me. Or is the proverbial me, myself, and I.
Mm-hmm. And actually, today you spoke like that, too. You were talking about how your sister's going to come down here and visit. And you said they were going to be coming down.
Yeah.
And I said, who's they? And yeah, we just had to make a correction of you're
one.
Just talking about one person.
I just meant my sister.
So exactly. So what you're saying.
You know, and we get in the habit of speaking that way. It was also talked about that, you know, God was conversing with the angels at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one of the, not objections, but one of the alternate explanations of what the text says. And, well, angels are created beings.
Indeed.
And God did not consult with the angels. I mean, the scriptures specifically speak, it's in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13, where the prophet is inspired to write by the Holy Spirit, "Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord?" Or, as his counselor has informed him. No one. Only God was there at creation, and he did not consult the angels as to what they thought about it so that God could speak in the plural. But the interesting thing here is, in the same context of Genesis 1 in verse 27, Moses also uses the singular pronoun he of God, the God who just spoke. So God created man in his singular own image, and in the image of God he created him, man, male and female, he, singular God again,
right,
created them.
So maybe you're going to get to this, but how is that not a contradiction?
It isn't. It isn't a contradiction because Moses makes no attempt here to reconcile it to American eyes or American curiosity satisfaction. He doesn't change the terms in the text from our to he so that you have agreement across the board, or he doesn't change he into their or them. He simply leaves them stand. Hmm. So the plural and the singular used in the same context, it becomes clear at this point that the Old Testament reader is looking at or hearing the Godhead himself, the divine creating essence. And there is one inseparable, eternal, more than one, plurality. And this isn't the only place in Scripture where we find this. In Psalm chapter 2 are recorded the words of God, which specifically speak here of the Father and the Son. And he says so, the Lord and his anointed, the Lord and his anointed, verse 2, two persons. Hmm. In verse 6, God says, I, singular, have installed my king, separate person, upon Zion, my holy mountain. The singular, my again. In verse 7, the word of the Lord is quoted, the decree of the Lord, he said to me, you are my son. I have begotten you today. Two persons. My son, implying the word spoken by God, is the Father, and
right,
his son, a separate person. Father and the Son together are unmistakably in the same person of God. But it goes farther. The Spirit of the Lord is there as well, and we first encounter that in Genesis 1, the first couple of verses. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Spirit of God. So, looking at the entirety, you have God who speaks of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit already even in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And the implication by that is indeed this is one God, three persons in that one God, three separate and distinct ones. And it is most clearly evident in the New Testament from Matthew chapter 28, where God's name is specifically and precisely given by Jesus. And if there were any confusion about it in the Old Testament, this day, I have begotten you, my son, from Psalm 2, or the Spirit of God in Genesis 1, it certainly cleared up when Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This God is three persons in one divine being, the one eternal only triune God.
Okay, so a couple of things. Sometimes there's going to be questions on the show where even pastors don't know the answer because they're just beyond comprehension. But maybe you can try to answer this. Why would God cause this confusion? Because, I mean, somebody who has not grown up in the Christian church or in the Christian faith by any means, the first thing they hear, oh, yeah, Christians believe in one God, and then they read Genesis and they see, well, there's multiple gods here. So can you try to explain why God would operate in this way? Yeah, somebody might ask the question, why would God confuse us like this? I mean, I don't, but somebody else might ask that question.
Well, at that point, the confusion isn't in God or God creating any confusion. This is who God is. This is who God reveals himself to be in the Scriptures.
Right.
And because I don't understand it, doesn't change the fact of who God is, that he is three persons, separate persons, in one divine being. You and I look at each other every day, and we are made up of body and soul. Mm-hmm. Are there many people out there who don't believe that? They believe that just body and soul, I mean, we're just one person, and that's all we are. And they'll even go so far as to tell you that at death, when we die, well, that's just it. There isn't any more life after that. And others may tell you something different. So the fact that people don't understand is a problem with sinful people who don't have all of the information or who don't understand. One of the things that
we're all sinful, so we're all going to be struggling with something like that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. And these things are not set out to understand. They are set out to believe. And you know, Jesus was very clear in the Old Testament, or in the New Testament, and certainly when Jesus spoke through the prophets in the Old, these things are written that you might believe.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus would say that in John chapter 20, after the resurrection, these things are written that you might believe, or John says it, I should say,
mm-hmm.
but inspired by our Lord. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing have life in his name. He doesn't say, you may understand, and by understanding have life in his name. It was helpful to me when someone years ago made the distinction between exhaustible truth and true truth. God does not give us exhaustive truth about everything, but he does give us true truth about things. And that truth that he delivers to us is revealed to us by his word. This is where we learn of who God is and what God has to say to us and what God has done for us in order to do the kinds of things that Greeks and Romans gods, well, you know, the Romans deified Caesar, for example. What did Caesar ever provide his people that would relieve them from sin and death and from hell and reconcile them with the one true God or anything like it?
Mm-hmm.
And he did nothing like that.
Same thing with Egyptian pharaohs.
Certainly. And it will always go that way with, you know, when we get this other system of gods.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a God who is for us. This is a God who reveals about himself to us so that we might believe him, believe his word, and not be lost forever. So what is that word that we ought to believe? Well, it begins, first of all, with who this God is. And this God reveals himself as one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, Deuteronomy 6, as well as we've looked at the just briefly in the Genesis text, but three persons in this divine being. This is the only kind of being like this that there is.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one who has created us. Now, whether I understand all of that or not, no, I don't understand the Trinity. I don't necessarily understand how Jesus could become a man.
Indeed.
And yet still be the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
But yet this is what the Scriptures declare to us, that we have a God who took on human flesh in the Virgin Mary, was made man, and suffered and died for us on the cross so that we might have life in his name, that we might be reconciled to God the Father, that we might, as he rose, also rise from the dead and have everlasting life.
I got one more question in relation to this main question of the question is the Trinity sounding like multiple gods instead of one God, as Christians claim to believe is one God, which we do. We do that Christians believe in one God. So got one more question in relation to that with Pastor Kirk. I'm Captain Kirk here with David.
Hello.
We have to take a quick break from the Wi-Files, but don't go away. We'll be right back in a few moments.
FM 95.7, Lincoln, Nebraska.
Listen to 95.7 FM and find out more about KNNA, The Cross, by visiting www.thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska. We'd like to invite you to join us to worship with us at Good Shepherd. We gather each Sunday at 8 and 10:30 with Sunday school for all ages in between. We also worship on Wednesday evenings, 6:30. Please join us, won't you? And may God richly bless your day.
So that is the stuff when I talk about the necessity for reason, that's the stuff I think that is more relevant. Now, I think that you do need a religious system in order to inform people who are not going to sit around philosophizing all day what are good and bad modes of behavior.
With something pretty exciting at the beginning of the year here, you know, something that's really debated and talked about in the realm of politics and these sorts of things is, do we need God for a moral foundation in order to have an objective reality? That's really the big question, and that's.
Listen to Matthew Garnett and In Layman's Terms on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock and Friday afternoons at 5 p.m. right after Issues, etc.
CGS Music is a locally owned music store here in Lincoln, Nebraska. CGS Music provides musical instrument sales, rentals, and repairs of both string and band instruments. Visit cgsmusic.net. Again, that's cgsmusic.net, or call 402-328-0677. That's 402-328-0677.
You can be a part of KNNA by subscribing. Sign up for one of our four levels of subscription at thecross957.org. Starting with the bronze level at $10 a month, to the silver level at $20 a month, the gold at $35 a month, and finally, the platinum level at $50 a month. Help keep KNNA operational and receive something in return. For more information and to donate, go to thecross957.org. That's thecross957.org.
Radio is not free. Well, maybe for you, the listener, it is, but here at KNNA 95.7 FM, not so much. Every year, there are expenses that must be met. The only way for that to happen is if a fantastic person, such as yourself, donates to KNNA The Cross. Come on over to thecross957.org for more information and to donate. Help keep this station alive and well. Once again, that is thecross957.org.
Welcome back to the Y-Files here on KNNA 95.7 FM. We are a low-power radio station, so if you're outside of Lincoln, you're probably not going to hear us. So you're going to have to use your phone or your computer to listen to us. You can listen at thecross957.org or download the free app at Google Play or the App Store. I'm Captain Kirk. I am here with David. Say hello again, David.
Hello again, David.
David and I also do Off on a Tangent on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And we came up with a show a few months ago.
Yep.
And we just
it kind of started on Off on a Tangent.
It was a spinoff of Off on a Tangent. It went so well on Off on a Tangent, I wanted to make a whole new show.
Yeah.
So David and I started working on that, and our pilot episode was last week. We talked about the validity of the Bible. Mm-hmm. So anyone interested in hearing that, you can listen later in the week. Check the schedule on the website, or you can just listen on demand by going to the website and just listening there. So we are here with Pastor Kirk, who is helping us answer the question of the plurality, can I say that, of the Trinity? Be a better way of saying the Trinity of God.
Well, there are three persons in one divine being, God. And right. That is the kind of being this is.
Right. So the question that I have for people who are maybe hearing this for the very first time, how would you be able to describe or simplify the Trinity just for them to understand? Like, you know, you've seen the book of the apple, just trying to describe the Trinity, which I hear is not the greatest example of using. But is there a way you can try to simplify to help people understand the Trinity?
Well, for me, Jim, David, human examples always leave a whole lot to be desired. And the best way I could tell anyone to go and learn about the Trinity is first go and look to Scripture itself and see what the Word of God reveals about who God is. And that's the kind of thing we're looking at this afternoon as to what does Genesis chapter 1 say? Or your next question coming up, you know, if Jesus is God, is he praying to himself? And, you know, why is he doing that? Well, what do the Scriptures say about that? The second thing is if there are, you know, more specific questions regarding that, rather than trying to come up with a, you know, a real knock 'em dead illustration that will answer all of the questions is go and ask your pastor. You can come and ask me specifically, or we could ask Pastor Poppy or Pastor Miranda here at Good Shepherd specifically about the kind of questions that you have. And some of the answers God gives us clearly out of his word. Some of them remain in that realm of mystery, which, because God has given us true truth in his word, we accept that and we believe that without having a complete intricate understanding. Mm-hmm. But now I'm not trying to cop out mm-hmm. on you, but unless there was something more specific about the Trinity, then it would be difficult.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that, for me anyway, has been really instrumental in being at peace with this little corner of theology, and that is understanding that there is no other being who is like this. Three persons in one divine being. There is no other being that is like that. And I think that's important to understand. You can come up with analogies to sort of better understand or acquire a sense of peace with the idea, but those analogies, they are just examples. They're just illustrations. They are not the thing itself. The thing itself, the Trinity, is unlike any other thing out there. So
no, there is no other being like this.
Right.
Nowhere.
Right.
This is what the kind of picture of God that we have given to us by God himself. Mm-hmm. And if there are good illustrations about who God is, then they are to be found in the scriptures, in the context of scripture, in the way God has revealed to them. I think Pastor Poppy mentioned it last week, and it was brilliant on his part that these kind of questions need to be reframed into the language that God uses and the illustrations God uses in scripture. Mm-hmm. And once one begins to reframe into the words that God gives us, things will begin to open up in absolutely fabulous ways, the depth of what God has revealed about himself already there to us. But if we try to take human examples and force them upon the Word of God, they will be lacking. And I have found in my 45 years in the ministry that they create more questions and more problems than if you didn't just go to Scripture in the first place and say, this is what Scripture says of our God. And the Psalm 2 text that I referred you to earlier and the Genesis text, the original questions you were asking, are excellent places to look at that. But then there are more. Mm-hmm. What does Jesus say in Matthew chapter 28? What happens at Jesus' baptism where the Trinity is again there present? Jesus, the Son of God, made flesh, the incarnation, and God, the Father, breaks the silence of heaven when he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I, singular again, mm-hmm. am well pleased. And the Spirit descends upon him, not a bird landing on him, mm-hmm. like a dove. It says, mm-hmm. in the form of a dove, descended upon him and remained with him. Wow, there is a wealth of information there that'll be beyond the scope of your program this afternoon, and the time, which really goes by fast,
it
doesn't
does go it? By really. So since you mentioned that, let's go ahead and go to the next question, which is in relation to what you just said
about Jesus praying to himself.
Yes. So we come to the understanding that okay, Jesus is God. Then, as Jesus was on the earth for 33 years roughly, mm-hmm. why was he praying to God? If Jesus is God, then why is he praying to himself? I thought Jesus is God, so why would he need to do that?
Well, if I can do just what Pastor Poppy did last time.
Rephrase the question.
Yeah, rephrase the question just a little bit, because Nicodemus in John chapter 3 will ask the same question. As he comes by Jesus tonight, at night, and Jesus, you know, how can you do these things? And when you read that text in John, the bottom line question is, Nicodemus is wondering, are you the Christ? Are you the one who is to come? You are the promised Redeemer of Genesis chapter 3. You are the seed of the woman who is going to crush the serpent's head and save us from our sins, reconcile us to God, bring eternal life. That's the bottom line question there. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answers him quite clearly. Are you a teacher in Israel and you do not understand these things about being born again of water and the Spirit and seeing the kingdom of God? Yes, that's where it's at. In other words, do you not believe, Nicodemus, when right there standing before your eyes is he who was promised to you from the beginning, of whom Moses wrote, Jesus said. Well, he's there. How can that be? Because this is the plan of God. Because this is the word of God, which delivers to us the truth of how we are to be redeemed from our sins and saved forever, where we have a God who comes to us, who comes for us, to reconcile us with the Father forever and ever. Are you going to understand all the ins and outs of that? No. This isn't exhaustive truth. It is true truth. It is what we believe, teach, confess, preach, and deliver by the word of God at each and every divine service. So in the usual human sense of this, is Jesus talking to himself here when he prays? Is he just getting his thoughts organized so that, you know, he can work matters out on his own, out loud?
We do that all the time.
Yeah, just like we do. You know what? Yeah. Who are you talking to? I'm just talking to myself.
Right.
You know, and we speak aloud like that all the time, as if Jesus somehow is separated out of God when he becomes man, but he needs to get back to heaven so that he can talk face to face with God once again, you know, like it really ought to be. Well, no, there is that element of mystery here of how can these things, how can Jesus be incarnate in the flesh and at the same time be the Son of God? It is what Scripture declares to us without all of the technical aspects of the wiring diagrams and the transistors and the computer boards and all of that. Here is who this is, as the angel announced, the child that shall be born shall be called the Son of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. How can these things be? Because the Word of God has declared it from the beginning. Mm-hmm. And God, who gives us that truth, gives it to us. Was Jesus praying when he prayed? Yes. Was he praying to God? Yes. Was he praying to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yes. Is Jesus God? Yes. Did he hear his prayer? Yes. How can this be? Jesus told Nicodemus, if I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Christians, let the mystery stand and believe that Jesus prays to God for us and for our salvation. And we believe and thank God for it.
Is this also, with Jesus praying like this, is this also an example for us to follow? Or is this just something exactly what you just mentioned?
Jesus' prayer is for us and for our salvation, because this is why he came, for us.
Right.
He came to seek and to save the lost. Now, when the disciples were faced with this, they asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus teaches us how to pray. Mm-hmm. We are baptized into the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God's name, rest upon us. That is our identity. That is our new heart and life. And how do we pray? Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven. The Lord's Prayer.
Right. You guys are listening to the Y-Files here on Canon A 95.7 FM. We're here with Pastor Kirk answering, maybe three questions. I'm not sure we're going to get to the third one. Well, we'll see. I'm Captain Kirk. And I'm here
David.
With David. Hi, David.
Hi.
David says hello again.
How's it going?
So we got to take a quick, really quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go away for some more Y-Files.
KNNA FM 95.7 is radio. Radio is a communication medium, nothing more. KNNA is designed to be confessional Lutheran, Lutheran community informative, and family and entertainment. Our broadcasting can assist the shut-in who can't come to church on Sunday. It can help the hospitalized for the same reason. It can help the person whose work schedule is unfriendly to Sunday morning worship. All so that the Word of God might be heard. Yes, there is a level of outreach connected to FM 95.7. But FM 95.7 is not the church. It is not intended to take the place of the congregation or its pastors or their work. It is FM radio, a communication medium. We are all volunteer. Most of our programming is automated. There is no office or staff or phone watch. If there are pastoral concerns that you would like assistance with, or you would like to speak with our pastors, please contact Good Shepherd Lutheran Church at 402-423-7639 during normal business hours, or come by the church at 3825 Wildbriar Lane. We'll be happy to assist you.
Welcome back to the Y-Files. I am Captain Kirk along with
David,
I'm going to let him speak more because I've been doing a lot of talking today. Although Pastor Kirk has been doing more talking than us today. So we've been asking Pastor Kirk about the Trinity of the Christian faith, more specifically here the Lutheran faith. And we've been also talking about is Jesus talking to himself when praying? Jesus is God. So we've been talking about that. And off air, David, you had a question in relation to what we're talking about.
Right. I guess, and it's sort of in part digresses to an aspect of the first question. My question is, so we are made in the image of God. So we are in very limited degree analogies for the nature of God. Feel free to knock that down if you need to. That being said, is it sort of when you talk to yourself, when you're trying to, when you ruminate and you're trying to figure things out in your own mind, is that something, is that in itself analogous to what Jesus was doing by praying in the garden? Is there some, any kind of connection between those two functions?
I wouldn't draw the analogy there at all. First of all, God created us, body and soul. That's what we are. We were never meant to be separated. Mm-hmm. We were meant to be in that wonderful, blissful communion with God from the beginning.
Right.
And sin, of course, corrupted that. And that sin has done, the depth of it, I don't think we will ever really understand. And thanks be to God that he does instead and comes for us. But God is an entity of himself. God doesn't need us. We need him.
Mm-hmm.
So when God deliberates within the council of the Trinity, so to speak, as we heard in the Genesis text, let us make man in our image and our likeness, there is complete agreement, complete harmony within the Godhead himself. Whereas, well, with us, we don't have that. When we do that internal thing and, you know, we work things out loud.
Right.
We're speaking from a corrupted, sinful standpoint.
Of course.
Who are we speaking to? We're speaking to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
When God speaks, he speaks the life-giving, eternal word himself. And that eternal word, of course, is given to us then, you know, through the mouth of Jesus, through the mouth of the holy apostles and prophets, since the beginning of the world, by his word. So that's where we hear God speak to us. But when God speaks internally in the Trinity, he speaks within himself. He's not working things out. He's not just kind of talking it over with himself.
Uh-huh.
He is speaking with the three distinct separate persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which are in agreement. Anything that arises from us would certainly not be, could not be analogous to that whatsoever. Our creation is entirely different.
Okay, so that leads me to another question. If the Trinity is in agreement internally, what is the specific purpose of speaking? Jesus asked, you know, if it be thy will, let this cup be taken from me. what was the purpose of that if the three persons of the Trinity were all in agreement and harmony?
One of the places where you might look to help keep you straight on that is to the Athanasian Creed. And I think is that in page 320 or whatever on the Lutheran service book?
You got one next to you if you want to hand it to me.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll hand that to you. But the Athanasian Creed, drawn out of Scripture, brings us to the work of each of the persons of the Trinity for us and for our salvation. And from the Father is the one who sends the Son to be our Redeemer. The Son's work is to proceed from the Father to be our Redeemer. It is the Son who is incarnate, becomes flesh. And I was right. It was page 319 and 320 for the Athanasian Creed.
In the LSB.
Yes, in the Lutheran service book, LSB. And he is the one who takes on human flesh and goes to the cross and bleeds and dies to reconcile us with God, to forgive us our sins and deliver eternal life. Mm-hmm. Now, what he does on the cross must be delivered to us. Otherwise, if he didn't, the only place we would be able to find Jesus and hear his word and have our sins forgiven, we'd have to go find him to the cross. Well, that's a little bit difficult. 2,000 years ago to go back, or even if Jesus happened to be there today, I mean, we'd have to, how many times a day, a week, or a year, et cetera, would we have to buy a plane ticket and get over to Israel, find Golgotha, and go through all of that mess? I mean, so how do we deliver the work that Christ did for us on the cross to people everywhere? That is the work of the Holy Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son.
I see.
And he goes forth and he delivers all of the redemption that Christ earned for us at his cross by his word and by his sacraments. And the place that you find that are where these precious gifts of our God are delivered, in the church by his faithful pastors who deliver the absolution to people. Your sins are forgiven. They deliver the sacraments to people in baptism and the body and blood of Jesus in the Lord's Supper. And in their preaching.
So a way of thinking about what Jesus was doing by praying is he was fulfilling the work that he as the Son was meant to fulfill.
For us, in order to redeem and save us.
So Jesus as true God but true man, it was right that he should pray, because that is the duty of true man, that man should pray to God and submit to the will of God and be limited. Was it an expression of Jesus's limited knowledge? Like, is that?
Well, that gets into, David, a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a different aspect. Question. Yeah.
It would be what we would call the communication of attributes.
Right.
And how much does the human nature do, given the divine natures and the communication of the divine attributes to the human?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be helpful in looking at the an Athanasian Creed to help keep that straight.
Okay.
But the life of Jesus for us, as the God-man, the only one like that, the God-man for us, who came to redeem and save us, he comes in two different, let's call them, states of being, or parts of his life. The first state being what we call the state of humiliation.
Mm-hmm.
And by that we mean that according to his human nature now, he does not always fully use all of the divine powers communicated. So at some times Jesus uses those powers, as we saw in the text this morning from John chapter 6, where Jesus takes the 5 barley loaves and the 2 fishes and he feeds
5,000
more than 5,000 people. It just says 5,000 men, and the text tells us that. But he feeds them all with just that little bit. And you say, wow. But yet it is a man standing there breaking the bread.
Mm-hmm.
Could Could God do that without being a man? Well, of course he does that every day for us. I mean, you know, we just went to the grocery earlier today, and golly, the store was full. It had all kinds of food there. Sometimes Jesus walked from place to place in that state of humiliation when he didn't always and fully use the divine power. Now, after the resurrection, according to his human nature, he does fully use that divine power. So the disciples are gathered together in a locked upper room, and Jesus doesn't come through a keyhole. He doesn't walk through the door or the wall. Mm-hmm. He is just there.
Right.
And he will say that even later, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." Is he with us at all times? "Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." We can trust that he is there. The divine, human, body and soul Jesus, but now according to his human nature, he always and fully uses all of the divine powers communicated to the human nature.
So
David, you're going to have to hold on to that question.
Because?
It's not going to be a question. It's going to be
question?
A statement.
Okay, really quick, because we're almost out of time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. A simple summary answer to why did Jesus pray, according to what I'm hearing, is you could just say, well, he was a man, and it is right that he was true man, and it is truly right that people pray.
More, David.
There's far more.
Yes.
But that's also true.
Yes, that's true.
Okay.
But Jesus comes for us.
Right.
He goes
to
Gethsemane for us. He will kneel down and pray, "Father, if you can remove this cup from me." That prayer, he prays for us.
Right.
Because this is why he came. Mm-hmm. This is the Father's business. This is solely the work of God the Son incarnate for you and for me. He faced the crowd that came out to arrest him for us. He went to the cross for us. He rose for us. This is a God who comes to redeem and save us from sin, death, and hell. So his prayer is far, far deeper. Mm-hmm. His prayer is for you and for me and for our reconciliation with God forever. Mm-hmm. His prayer that took place in the garden or anywhere else in the scriptures where it says Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, he was praying for us with his Father.
Yep.
He intercedes for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he always intercedes for us that way now. He ascended to the Father according to his human nature, and all who believe in him ascend with him, because if he has redeemed all humanity and taking them to the Father's side, then all who believe in him will have eternal life, and no one, he says, will ever pluck them out of my Father's hand.
Good stuff. Good stuff, to say the least.
That was a really fast hour.
Yes, indeed.
We did not get to the third question at all, and that's perfectly fine. The next time Pastor Kirk comes on, maybe we'll get to that question. You guys have been listening to The Y-Files. You can get a hold of us on our Facebook page, The Y-Files. Like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page. Let people know that this show is out there, because these are important, serious questions that everybody is asking. You can be either in the church, outside the church, or something in between. This is for everybody out there. So share.
Good questions. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Pastor Kirk, for being here. We'll definitely have you on again. Hopefully you want to come back on again. So I am Captain Kirk.
I'm David.
And we will see you guys next Sunday at 2 p.m. live here on Canon A 95.7. So go on also on our the website, thecross957.org, to listen to this show and to our previous show. If you miss it on the radio, you can listen to it on demand. So take a look there. And we will see you guys next week. God bless.